We bring in the studio this morning one of the gay rights activists, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Sure. Pepe Julian Onzima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
good morning.
Me. Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
Michael Malice here to answer that question and many more on a delicious episode of Nightshade. Now, as we tape, the president is flapping his gums at the State of the Union, which we will hopefully probably cover tomorrow. On a personal note, I would like to point out to Ali Lehrman, who's the sweetheart of Compa Media, please stop putting lies in the lower thirds. Speaking of lies, William Weld, who was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate in 2016, the question has been, is he going to run for president? The Libertarian Party features such notable nobodies as Tom Woods and former Romney campaigner Dave Smith. And William Weld swore up and down that when he joined the Libertarian Party, he was in it for keeps. So the question is, is he going to run for president? Is he going to run as a Libertarian candidate for president, as so many people have promised, or is he going to run as a Republican? Well, we know the answer to one of those questions. He's going to do it if he runs as a Republican. He showed up on Town Hall a couple of weeks ago, and the slimy fucker changed his party registration for Libertarian back to Republican. This is going to clearly stoke speculation over whether Weld is preparing to mount a long shot challenge to President Trump and in the Republican Party nomination. Let me point something else out. A lot of times when you run for president, you're not actually running for president. You're running for attention. You're running for book deals. You're running to be a self-promoting douche, which was basically what William Weld did as the vice presidential candidate. Let me give you some inside information on the Weld-Johnson campaign. The big reason, and I think there's two big reasons Weld was on this ticket, and I think they're both great reasons from Garrett Johnson's point of view. One is cred. If you're a third party, it's very hard to get attention in the corporate press. The presumption is to dismiss you, treat you like a freak, often correctly. But if you have two former governors on the ticket, then all of a sudden there is an air of legitimacy, especially someone who had been as high profile at one point as William Weld. Number two, the argument was, and this is a great one, Weld has fundraising gravitas. He'll be able to hit the Rolodex, raise money for the LP, and you get the message out that way. Those are two great arguments for having him on the ticket. The argument against it is he's basically a has-been Republican, and he's not really a Libertarian. And in fact, during the campaign, he spent a lot of time – he spoke out for Hillary Clinton, who he's worked with in the past. It's not really – the whole point of the LP is like, look, these two people suck. We're great. So – according to the analysis, this is from – where's this article from again? Scroll up. I already fucking forgot.
Commonwealth.
Yeah, the Commonwealth magazine. The Commonwealth's saying there's few people who see an opportunity for a primary challenger. God, you know what would be really funny? Oh, my – you know what I really want to have happen more than anything? I really want Weld to run, and I really – want Bill Kristol to endorse him because Bill Kristol's desperate for a candidate to take on Trump. That's why he backed Evan McMuffin, who was a nobody. And I really want Bill Kristol to start calling himself a Libertarian Republican. And I want all the Libertarians to have aneurysms and just be stroked out like Nancy Pelosi. This is my Christmas wish. Okay, scroll up. There's more. Keep going. Weld was elected to two terms as a Republican governor of Massachusetts in the 90s, which is no mean feat Massachusetts is one of the bluest states, and he's part of what they regard him as a Rockefeller Republican, which is not entirely accurate, because the Rockefeller Republicans were they say fiscally conservative and socially liberal, but a lot of this Rockefeller Republicanism was socially liberal, but also very socially authoritarian. Like the Rockefeller drug laws were notoriously among the most draconian anywhere in America, despite this idea of liberalism. So Weld is currently a lobbyist with the firm ML Strategies, and he didn't respond to an email yesterday afternoon asking about his party switch and potential presidential plans. However, he is scheduled to deliver a speech next week in New Hampshire, Live Free or Die, the free state. Gary Johnson spoke at Porkfest when I was there, and I got him to say talk shit about democracy. So he was far more on the level than William. How old is? Can you look up how old William Weld is? I think he's literally 76. It's some. He's also like gigantic. He's like 6'5" or something crazy like that. But I think he's quite old.
He's 73.
73. Yeah, yeah. It looks good for his age, but still, yeah. Weld has not shown particular fidelity to his Republican roots, and asked for being elected governor twice as a Republican standard bearer. He endorsed Obama in 2008, then endorsed Mitt Romney. These are great. You know, if there's one thing libertarianism is about, it's Barack Obama and Mitt fucking Romney. In 2016, he signed on with the LP and ran as. I mean, Gary Johnson, you could talk a lot of shit about him. I think if everyone who talks shit on Gary Johnson with reason likes him as a person for the most part. It's hard not to like him. The thing is, and Gary Johnson has to get some credit. I don't know if credit's the word, but you have to acknowledge that he took this rotting Republican corpse and resurrected it and gave him some life. And now this Frankenstein monster, who the hell knows what's going to happen with it. He does look a little Frankensteinian. And I do know Frankenstein is the name of the doctor. Okay, just calm it down. Calm it down. Keep going up. And as I discussed, the conversion to the Libertarian Party was met with a lot of skepticism, and he had said at the convention, May 2016, if you hear nothing else from me, hear this. I pledge to you that I will stay with the Libertarian Party for life. There was a big move at the convention to not to have him be the running mate. And he had switched his party registration only 3 months prior in February of 2016. And word of his return to the Republican fold was greeted with doubts. Jennifer Nassor, who is the former chair of the Massachusetts Republican Party, said, "It would be wonderful to have a moderate Republican running against Trump to give other voters in a Republican primary someone to vote for. The downside for Weld is he left the party, and party voters, whether Republican or Democrat, don't look too kindly on someone who leaves the party and comes back." That happened in 2000, I don't remember when. Arlen Specter, who was a very partisan Republican, very liberal, but partisan Republican, who got Clarence Thomas through to be on the Supreme Court. He fought for him very, very hard, switched to the Democratic Party, said on camera, "I did it to get reelected," and lost the nomination. And then that candidate lost to Pat Toomey for the Senate race, if my chronology is correct, which I'm 99% sure it is. So people don't like this kind of shit. Same thing with Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist, former governor of Florida, switched, lost in the primary to Rubio, ran as an independent, lost there for the Senate race. Then he became a Democrat, lost to Rick Scott there, and now he's in the House. I mean, people are like, you know what? We've had people in the party who've been paying their dues and who aren't such blatant sociopaths. They're more, you know, kind of obfuscatory about it. So Weld will reveal more about his plans on November 15th. There's something called a Politics and Eggs series, which is partnered by the New England Council and St. Anselm College, and that's a required stop on the first in the nation New Hampshire presidential primary. I hate William Weld with every fiber of my being. Like, I think he's such a horrible person in every way. And it was really, really weird how he left the governorship, because he was nominated by President Clinton to be ambassador to Mexico. I don't see how going from governor of Massachusetts, which is a big, important state, to like that's a step up for you, ambassador to Mexico, unless you really like tacos. And the Republican Senate were like, dude, Mexico is a drug issue. Jesse Helms, particularly, a very conservative senator, is like, you could be ambassador anywhere. Like, we'll totally for it. I don't care that you're this New England lefty. Just not Mexico, because you're weak on drugs, and this is a big problem. And he's like, no, I want to be Mexico. And he had resigned before the votes were even there, and he lost. It was very stupid and odd, and I still don't understand it. But we've got good news for Gavin McInnes. People have been asking me on live stream. People have been asking me on Twitter. People have been asking me in the toilet, have you heard anything about Gavin? Well, good news. He has a new gig. According to Mediaite, he's returning to The Rebel, which is Ezra Levant's Canadian website and network. Gavin, who, as you guys know by now, co-founded Vice, has produced videos for The Rebel before. There, a lot of them are hilarious. And according to a promo clip, he will, a returning character playing his brother Miles McInnes, who will produce social justice videos. And this hire follows a trend for The Rebel, which is kind of, they're characterizing it as this kind of salon for unorthodox right-wing thinkers. Katie Hopkins joined after leaving the Daily Mail. She's a really toxic one. Of all of them, I think she's really a really toxic one. It's funny. God, the fuckery. The media refers to Faith Goldie as a white nationalist and neo-Nazi sympathizer. Yep, that's how you would just... They wouldn't say, you know, mayoral candidate, which she just ran for Toronto mayor and did surprisingly well. No. The important thing about her is that she's a white nationalist and neo-Nazi sympathizer, because that is how she identifies. So, Faith, what are you for? Well, I'm not actually a neo-Nazi. I just sympathize with them. That's how I would describe myself. Oh, okay. And also Tommy Robinson, who is also a controversial figure over in the UK. There's been heat between him and Nigel Farage, which I've covered on this show before. We have a clip. This is the promo clip from The Rebel featuring Miles.
I'm every woman. It's all in me. Anything you want done, baby.
I guess that's Gillette, right? Yeah. That's funny. I don't like how the Rebel's logo is all one font size and color, because then it looks like Therible. That's just that's neither here nor there. But congrats to Gavin, and his videos do very well on YouTube. And we've got some. Can we skip ahead to the Laura story? We've got some bad news. That's the good news for Gavin. We've got some bad news for one of his, fellow travelers, Laura Loomer. Laura today has been kicked off of PayPal. She announced this via Instagram. I've had her on the show on both show. No, I've not had her on You're Welcome. No, I've had her on You're Welcome when I was here at Compound. I've had her on Nightshade. And she said today on Instagram, which is one of the few places left where she's allowed to speak, that they banned her for no reason whatsoever. Here's what she said. For no reason whatsoever. This comes one day, her words, after radical left-wingers published a fake hit piece about me, falsely accusing me of getting donations from an anti-Muslim hate group. The good news is there's a lawyer who's going to take my case, and just like Gavin McInnes, I plan on suing all the left-wing terrorists. I don't think suing terrorists is a very effective warrant term. And tech tyrants who are trying to shut me down simply because I'm a conservative Jewish woman who speaks truth about Islam. I have nothing to lose anymore, so trust me when I say I will stop at nothing to make sure justice is served. That sounds like terrorism. If I'd said to someone, I'm going to stop at nothing to make sure justice is served, I have nothing to lose, that's like I'm going to strap a bomb to me.
Terrorists usually think they're pretty righteous, so.
Yeah. Usually. Sometimes they're like, I'm just bored. I will stop at nothing to make sure justice is served for the way Silicon Valley has disenfranchised me, falsely accusing me of being a white supremacist, a Nazi, anti-Muslim, a racist, a bigot, and every other smear in the book. I am banned everywhere. I am banned on Twitter for exposing Jew hatred. I am banned by Uber and Lyft. I am banned by GoFundMe. I am banned from Venmo. I am banned from Green Eggs and Ham. No, Uber Eats. I am banned from Uber Eats. Essentially, I can't even exist in society because the actual Nazis in tech and on the left constantly ban me because I post facts. How am I supposed to pay my bills? I can't get a regular job because I've been accused of being a Nazi. Well, bringing a bunch of illegal aliens to the Speaker of the House's house is not really on them. That's going to rub people the wrong way sometimes, I think. It's fair to say. Am I supposed to be homeless? No, I'm not going to tell that story about Laura. There's nothing to allude to with her being homeless. Whatever. Sorry. I guess these people won't be happy until I reach a breaking point and just die. Let's be honest. That's what these people want. They want me to die from all the pressure and stress of not being able to live freely in America. They don't want her to die. They want her to be silenced. That's really... No, I take that back. Some of them would be happy if she was dead. I take that back. They're evil and will stop at nothing to ruin people's lives. Even the people from Right Wing Watch retweet videos and articles posted by people who say they want me to commit suicide. They actively call for me to be assaulted and support people like Montel Williams, who advocated for me to be tased to death simply for existing. In the meantime, if you'd like to support my journalism so that I can just pay my bills on top of paying off some of the nearly $40,000 of credit card debt. Oh, God. I'm very sorry to hear that.
Sounds like somebody else's problem. Credit card debt? Who did that to her?
The Muslims.
Did I miss something? Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad Drew hasn't learned anything from Friday. I'm so glad. Everyone was worried you were going to talk less.
No.
On top of the nearly $40,000 of credit card debt I've acquired from trying to pay for my investigations and videos, which expose these people and their hypocrisy, you can do so by sending me a check to this address. It's a P.O. box in Lake Worth, Florida. She goes, they want me to be homeless and die. Oh, thank you. Good idea. That is sad. A PayPal. It's sad that they're not being transparent about why and pointing certain specific things. A PayPal spokesperson confirmed her ban to the Daily Beast. When the newspaper or the site reached her for comment, her response was, fuck off. Not joking. So that's where I'm going to try to get a hold of Laura. I'm going to text her right now. Maybe we'll get a response during the show. Let's see. I mean, it's not like she's on Twitter. Let's do this right now. What should I say? Hope you're doing okay. How are you holding up? What do you like best about me? Hold on. Taping my show live right now. People are asking how you are holding up. How you are holding up. Also, is a hot dog a sandwich? Okay, so that is sent. If I get a response from Ms. Loomer, I will let you know. Now we're going to continue with that story about Northam. Oh, not well. Oh, honey. These people want me to die. Do you want to hold on? Let me get her on. I'm going to ask her if she wants to talk on the show. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to hop on the phone for a call to the show? Yeah. Let's find out. What is that? Yeah, well, I don't know if she wants to do it yet. I could eat. Okay, thank you. How much now? Stacy Pressman. Okay, we'll see what she says. As if I have a pen. I only write in blue.
J. just like to be sure.
Okay, she's watching the State of the Union. Okay. Okay, girl. Okay, hang in there. Hang in there, Gorl. G-O-R-L-L. Okay, done. Let's follow up yesterday's that spin. Oh, my God, it got me so triggered. I was going to go through the rest of that article, and I can't do it. Like, that was my limit. There's more, because we got a night rage coming up if we have time. So I can only get so agitated. I don't want to end up like a certain somebody on Friday night yelling at the screen, holding the mic. No one wants to see that twice. The lieutenant governor of Virginia, Justin Fairfax, has because he is who would become the governor if Governor Northam steps down, right? Lieutenant governor is obviously next in line. He, this is from CBS, has denied a sexual assault allegation, which was first covered by that same website that uncovered the Northam picture, calling the accusation a smear and character assassination. His remarks yesterday afternoon came after people were calling for Governor Northam to resign over those racist yearbook photos. There's only one that's racist, over that racist yearbook photo. Isn't that interesting? Like, this is CBS. I'm sorry, but I don't think there's anything wrong from expecting a little precision in an article, especially something this easy to fix. It's just sloppy. And a lot of times, like, they're malevolent, but a lot of times they don't give a fuck. And that's a problem. Because if you have a doctor who's like that, this is where people get their information. This is someone's life. And I'm not saying, oh, only one racist photo, but there's a difference between having one and a ton. Whatever. Obviously, you know, they're asking him to resign, and this would elevate Fairfax to the governorship. As he said, this is Fairfax talking. I have lived my life in a way that I'm proud of. His office later said the unsubstantiated allegation was when he was a Democratic staffer in 2004. It was false. So this is 14 years ago, 15 years ago. And threatened legal action against people who continue to spread these false allegations. It was Big League Politics on Sunday night, which reported that a woman who's currently a fellow at Stanford University said a man sexually assaulted her at the 2004 Democratic National Convention when John Kerry was nominated to be president. In an early morning statement, his office denied it, claimed the Washington Post had found significant red flags and inconsistencies within the allegations when it investigated the matter last year. The Washington Post did confirm the woman contacted the paper after Fairfax's election to claim that he had assaulted her in 2004, that the paper refuted his characterization of why it declined to publish the story. This is interesting. This is what the Post is saying. They're calling him a liar. And to be fair, let's be honest, just because someone's lying about this in no way even implies that he actually assaulted this woman. According to the Post yesterday, it said the Post did not find significant red flags and inconsistencies within the allegations, as the Fairfax statement incorrectly said. Instead, the Post says it didn't run the story because, quote, it found no similar complaints of sexual misconduct against him after talking with people from Fairfax's college, law school, and political circles, and could not corroborate her account. So they did their homework and they did right by him. So kudos to the Post, which is failing badly. He told the Post the encounter had been consensual and had taken place before he was married. So they did hook up. When he spoke with reporters on Monday, he confirmed meeting the woman and having sexual activity with her that was 100% consensual, but he repeatedly and vehemently denied assaulting her. He's only 39. He looks older than that. He looks, even though black don't crack, he looks older than that. He said it was suspicious that the allegations surfaced amid a time when he could possibly assume the governorship. He goes, does anyone believe that's a coincidence? He's right. Patrick Cowley, the founder of Big League Politics, defended his reporting in an interview on Monday. He declined to detail some of his sourcing, but said his approach to the stories was impeachable. I think they mean impeccable or unimpeachable. God damn it. I'll see him in court, Howley said, referring to that threat of legal action. Asked if Northam should relinquish his post, meaning should you get a promotion, Fairfax said the governor has to make a decision that's in the best interest of Virginia and declined to call for his resignation. You know, I had Maj Touré on my show, You're Welcome, this morning. It'll be up Thursday early in the morning. He's the guy who runs Black Guns Matter. And the point, and I talked about this with Christian conservative Dave Smith on the Real Ass podcast on Gas with Lewis and Zach yesterday, which is probably up at any moment. And the point I made on this issue is I really think this is a case where if you are white and you're from the North, shut up. And I let black people tell me what to think on this one, because I will never know what it feels like to see someone who's your governor or a governor have those photos back in the past. It could be, I'd be like, all right, this is medical school. This is 30 years ago. It's stupid jokes. Or he's an old man. Let's look at his record. Or it could be like, this is absolutely unacceptable, reprehensible. All of those are plausible ways to look at it. I don't know which one it is. So it's interesting that someone who is a lieutenant governor, who I think would have very strong opinions about race, especially in a state like Virginia, would actually be biting his tongue and being like, I'm not going to touch this one, although I think it's pretty clear why. What else is interesting about the issue is there has been a rumor going around that it was Northam who planted this story in order to defend his job and make it so he doesn't step down. So, I mean, these people are all such fucking snakes. It is so, so funny to watch them kind of, you know, turn on their own. But at the end of the day, I'm not interested in a governor specifically resigning. I'm interested in abolishing the governorship entirely. So that's a very separate issue altogether. So last thing we would want to do, we got a little bit of time left, and it's time for a segment you all know and love. It's time for Night Rage. Now, this is the toughest Night Rage I'm going to do in quite a long time. Because when someone has really good intentions and is trying to do right by you and they do the wrong thing, it really sucks to chide them. Because you're going to hurt their feelings. And they're trying to do right by you. And it's just like you are effectively on some level punishing them for trying to do the right thing. And that's confusing and it's hurtful. So I'm going to say this as, I don't know if tactfully is not the word, but like as gently as possible. A lot of times on Twitter, people will come at me. This happens all day. All day, as you guys have seen on my Twitter. It's fun. It's really great when they do things like, oh, you're anti-immigrant, not knowing I'm an immigrant. English is my second language. You don't know anything about cost of living, even though I'm from Brooklyn. What do you know about, you know, oh, you know, if they see me attacking Obama, well, your beloved Trump, if you see me attacking Trump, oh, well, you're a boy Obama. This happens, you know, everyone has these idiots have this binary worldview, and it's like, if not A, then B, and if not B, then A. It's just logic, right? There's only two choices. And a lot of times they'll get all agitated. And one of the things that drives people nuts when they are agitated is when you ignore them. You get them all hot and bothered. It's blue balls for arguments. Twitter's, you know, you want the orgasm. You're not getting the orgasm. You're all worked up. And it's like, well, look at the time. What the? Please, if someone is misunderstanding me and is confused, don't set them straight. You could attack them on their views, but if they misunderstand one of my jokes, or if they're coming after me and asking questions and I'm not answering them, don't answer for me. Because what's happening is a lot of times I am intentionally ignoring that person. I'm getting them all fucking upset. There is a very common thing where people think, oh, if someone with a blue check responds to you, it means I've landed something. It does not. No one matters on Twitter, I assure you. Or maybe like Obama and Trump. But, you know, Twitter does not fucking matter, a blue check. It's stupid. I enjoy having it because of this misconception, but it's stupid.
Or Super Chat, for that matter.
What? Super Chat's money.
Yeah. But with the, you know, what some people feel like they need to say, you know, that's, you know, that doesn't matter.
Right. I guess this night rage just got a little longer.
I'm referring to the other night.
Yeah, we know what you're referring to.
Okay.
The point is, this just happened yesterday. Someone was asking me all these questions because they misunderstood a tweet of mine, which is hilarious to watch them flail. And then some comes in and goes, oh, no, no, that's not what he thinks. You should watch his show. What I think doesn't matter. Focus on the issues. You could say, you're wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Don't explain what I think. If they don't know I'm an anarchist and they start yelling about me about, like, oh, you want the Republicans to vote, don't come in, oh, you don't know he's an anarchist. That's the fun. They don't know. But you know, and I know. So we can watch them and have a show together. And you're coming in and being like, all right, I'm putting a stop to the show. Here are some facts. Why? It's Twitter. There's no room for facts on Twitter. So I do appreciate it every time. But it fucks shit up for all of us. So please, you don't need to white knight for me. It's fun for me to ignore people sometimes. And if you do want to engage with their stupid ideas that are incorrect. What I think does not matter. Okay. And on that note, and that's why it's kind of it's a weak night rage because I don't really get that upset. But because I don't know. You know why I'm upset? Because I don't know how to respond. Because I see the person's coming from a nice place and they're trying to run interference on and trying to explain and talk the person down. It's like, no, no, no. They're worked up. It's fun. Let them be worked up. Who cares that they hate me? You don't hate me. I don't hate me. But I hate that our time is up. So I'll see you tomorrow. With some delicious nightshade, sweet dreams. We got some big girls. I hope they don't.